Okay, welcome to another podcast for Uncommon. This one's going to be hitting close to home of our ties with Hurricane Katrina, which is always awesome to relive. So if you have been alive and on the internet in any fashion in the last 2 or 3 weeks, you've seen the damage that Hurricane Helene has done to Western North Carolina. We're here in about 2 hours from that, and we have some friends and what I know is some family who in that area of the damage. And to say it's horrific is an understatement when you start seeing the photos of some of the damage.
Oh, sure. I mean, I've seen videos of people who were just standing in, like, chest-high water with, like, pets on basically, like, floating pieces of wood to kind of keep them dry.
Yeah.
And they're just, well, this is my house. I can't get out. There's nowhere to go. We had family members who were up in a mountain on a retreat during that time frame and right. then hit an area that they thought was be safe, and they were kind of stranded for, like, 2-3 days with no food, no water. And thankfully, they were able to talk to someone nearby, a neighbor of the house, and able to find a way down. But, you know, there's plenty of people who are not very lucky in that sense of, like, they're still stranded without power, water, food.
Yeah. Yeah, this is one of those things that unless you've been through one of these type of events, you're usually just seeing it on the news. And so we're going to kind of, like, you know, kind of pull the curtain back a little bit, kind of talk through some of the things that we've gone through with Hurricane Katrina. It was 2005. It feels like it's, you know, been decades and decades longer than that, but always somewhat fresh in, sure. in our memories. And so when this happened, it took us straight back to those days of dealing with, well, now what? So if you are in the middle of that right now, and you're hearing this at a later date, know that we've been praying about that. And if you have not been in something like that, kind of sit back and get a perspective of what some of those people are going through. And who knows? You know, there are catastrophes all across the globe.
Well, as we're recording this, there's that other hurricane that's coming through Florida. So
yes. Yeah, so that Helene hit coming up through Tallahassee, and then Milton is getting ready to hit in a day or two, right outside of Tampa. So poor Florida, not having a great hurricane season.
Yeah, I was reading something about the level 5 or category 5 hurricane. We've only had a handful of those, Katrina being one of them, and that. I was surprised. He said it was around like 10 or so of recorded, and I was like, I assumed it'd be way more than that, because really that's the only one I remember. I mean, we went through lower category storm, category level storms, but 5 for Katrina was always the one I remembered most.
Yeah, I mean, I was born and raised in New Orleans. You know, 40 years we lived there until literally blown out of the state with Katrina, and every year, hurricane season is June to November. Any good Cajun knows that. Any good person growing up in hurricane areas knows that season.
Sure.
And so usually you get a couple that require you to evacuate to some degree. I mean, a state away, maybe a couple hours away, that kind of thing. But not all of them are Category 5s.
Yeah.
So. In the first segment, we're kind of talking about facing unforeseen trials. You know, these, you know, hurricanes are one of those, if they had a silver lining, is you know they're coming. Mm. Like we just said about Milton, it's coming. You can see a projected path kind of thing. Earthquakes and twisters kind of just pop up.
Yeah.
All of a sudden. And unexpected trials can really kind of shake a person to their core, test their faith, their resilience. And we just had a podcast on resilience. You know, weather is a natural disaster. It kind of can lead to a sudden loss. I mean, you know, you kind of I think back to the days that we saw the damage from Katrina. Mm-hmm. When we went back into the city, I'm probably getting ahead of myself in the stories here, but you can see some of the damage.
Sure.
And so I'll kind of touch on that as we move through this segment here. But it happened on I had just turned 11 years at the company I was working at. I got out of my review. It was my review that day. And as I was walking back to my desk, a lady handed me a map of the projected path of Katrina. And that was the last day I would be in that company. Little did I know. But that was the last day ever. From that point on, I'd been there like 11 years. And all of a sudden, life just changed.
Yeah.
And so some of the things that we kind of are talking about here is embracing the reality of our trials. You know, when these kind of things happen, you always see stories of, I'm just riding out this.
Sure.
Right? Some guy in a kayak.
I saw that, yeah.
He's rode out Helene. Mm-hmm. And the guy was in a boat off in the harbor of Tampa, and he's like riding out this one too. Mm-hmm. When Katrina hit, and I'm sure when Helene hit in certain areas, and we'll probably focus our topics on, you know, Western North Carolina, there were probably some people who were still a little bit in denial about resisting this. We have to leave. I don't think I want to leave, right? I mean, you know, you're kind of stuck between how severe this is.
Sure.
Is it going to just pass over us kind of thing? Resisting the reality of a trial tends to lengthen it.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're not prepared for it. You're kind of, I remember being in our first leg of the evacuation in Baton Rouge. That quickly led to going to Houston. The mortgage was due. And I told Dana, I said, look, there's no way banks are going to be like, oh, you're going through a hurricane? Oh, that's a shame. Why don't you take 6 months off of your pay? No.
Yeah.
They want their bills paid, right? So in some little small town, might have been Mayberry, we wrote a check, envelope, put it in a mailbox on the side of a street. I know everybody who's like below 25 is like, they have mailboxes? Yep, they still have mailboxes. We mailed that check off there, and we never missed a payment. Now, I think they did offer us like a month or two to defer those payments after everything kind of the scope was taken in by everybody.
Sure.
But embracing that, or at least recognizing that trial, definitely helps us cope, because otherwise you have kind of a obscure vision of maybe the severity, the length of it. Holy cow, Katrina, that day I walked out of that company, I feel we didn't settle back into a normal rhythm until about 2 years later. Mm-hmm. We had spots that we were in a groove to some degree, but we didn't get back into a home. We rented, lived with a few people, that kind of stuff. And so getting back into a home took 2 years.
Yeah.
I don't know if everybody is thinking, wow, this hurricane or this storm or this trial is going to come through and my life will be different for the next couple of years.
Sure. I mean, preparation is interesting to see. We talk about this a lot of, you know, if you're not, you know, in God's word, praying and leaning on him in the good times and the, you know, every day, if a trial does come along, how much more ill-prepared are you for that if you aren't leaning on God and his grace, you know?
Sure.
And so very, very infrequently do we ever get any indication of, all right, Joshua, you're going to have a trial coming up next year. Why don't you start prepping now for it? Right. So when financial troubles come next year or health troubles come next year, you're prepared. Right. And like you said, the hurricane, at least you had some semblance of a warning beforehand, some path. But you know, most trials that we experience in our day-to-day lives, I mean, me and my wife were not prepared for the health trials that she's still going through today.
Yeah.
When we first started dating and got married. So I think it's... there's a delicate balance of, you know, being prepared and understanding that, you know, things change very drastically and so quickly sometimes, but also not letting that always be, you know, that cloud over your head being the Eeyore of like, well, today was good, but, you know, tomorrow I might catch fire. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, so when we left, and I'll probably have to skip over half the things we wrote with these little updates, but when we went to Baton Rouge, and then we heard that, okay, the levee broke, that all bets are off, and water's everywhere. So we didn't know if our house was underwater or not. So we're like, okay, you know what? We've been praying about a move for a while, and this might have been the catalyst that pushed us out. And so we went to Houston because we really couldn't stay in the house we were in. Mm-hmm. That was... my brother-in-law just sold his house. It was actually going to the active sale the day we hunkered down for that Katrina hit Grand Isle. And the new owners let us stay there. There was no power, obviously. And so we left a couple of days later and went to Houston. And then after that, we landed in Arizona. I'm like, Lord, where are there is no flooding? He's like, Arizona, there's no desert. Water. There's no water in Arizona, guaranteed. We show up, it rains the next day, and my friend says, what did you bring with you? Because you have Arizona. I mean, it rained that day, and then it didn't rain again for like 150 days later. So to get rain is kind of a special thing for them.
Sure, sure.
So, yeah, I think that we rarely are made aware, right? Job, if I was in Job's situation, I'd want a long ramp. Like, so this is going to happen like in like, what, 40, 50 years from now?
Right, yeah.
No, it's today. It's today, Job. So as we kind of, the next one is retreat. You know, as we kind of retreating from these disasters may feel like a safe place, but you can see that. On the news right now, and we couldn't see the Katrina updates because we were in the middle of it.
Sure.
You know, wasn't in front of the cameras, but the cameras were all around the area we lived in. So we had to, like, leave that area to see updates. We didn't see a visual update until we got to Houston. And people in North Carolina right now, they're, goodness, they are experiencing something that, you know, they cannot retreat from, like, and they're probably all in shock right now. Like,
sure.
I don't know the scope of what my life is going to be this going on, because their lives have changed. And looking at that based off our experience with Katrina, I see a decade. I mean, we went back to New Orleans years after Katrina. Mm-hmm. And saw blue tarps on houses for years and years and years. This right here, they were showing a picture of a road one day. The next day, how it looks now, you could not tell. Now, this is not a dirt road. This is not a gravel road. Mm. This was a cement two-lane highway. You cannot tell there was a road there. It looks like a stream with rocks.
Yeah, I mean, there's Chimney Rock was a city that is just gone now. It just doesn't exist. I-40, which is a major interstate between North Carolina and Tennessee, they said that thing's going to be closed until September of 2025.
Yeah.
Because it was swept away so much. But this is the interesting thing to see about, you know, a lot of these areas that flooded very heavily. A lot of people weren't in flood areas, so they didn't have, like, flood insurance. So this thing kind of came out of left field and really just, like, wreaked havoc. But what's interesting is that you talk about retreat. My first thought is Jonah. when Jonah gets called to go, and his thing is, I'm going to run the other way.
Right.
And, like, how well did that turn out for him, you know?
He booked his 3-day cruise, as we say.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's very, I think it's a very human reaction to be like, oh, the bad things in front of me are over there. I don't want to go over there. I want to retreat, kind of thing. And, you know, in some cases that may be, you know, like us running away from Katrina. Mm-hmm. Other times, like for Jonah's situation, if you're being called to do something like that, because in this scenario, we're talking about hurricane and trials of that nature, but, you know, dumb this down to a lower level of like, you know, hey, I'm nervous about talking to that person about my faith. I'm going to retreat, kind of thing.
Sure.
You know, you change the dynamic a little bit here and there, and you can see that retreating can be against God's will for you in those moments.
Yeah, you know, we refer to this as the middle of the mountain, right? You won't always have, like, I just won the lottery again.
Mm-hmm.
You won't always have, I have cancer again. Usually our lives in the middle of the mountain, everyday stuff that happens, kind of thing. Thankfully, we don't always have a Helene or a Milton or a Katrina in our lives happening all the time. But reacting to those things one way or the other, like, you know, I can see the frustration already in people's lives on the news and everything of, you know, $750.
Right.
You know, there's no number at this point they can throw at them. Here's his, you know, $50,000. Okay, well,
I can't rebuild my life with $50,000.
Right. That number was irrelevant. Now it's the help they need, the ongoing help of, when we landed in Arizona, they sent us to the Red Cross. We got, I think it was like a $1,500 gift card, a Visa card to use for clothes and gas and food. At this point in here, you're like, you're getting basic.
Mm.
If you want to have a perspective adjustment, you go through something like this, it will adjust you back down to, so what are we doing to eat today?
Mm.
I'm wearing the same pants and underwear for the last 15 days.
No.
I haven't brushed my teeth in a week and a half because I only have a toothbrush, mm-hmm. kind of thing. It's one of those weird things that, like somebody gave us at a hotel in Houston. Somebody gave us and some other evacuees some suitcases with like underwear and toiletries and mm-hmm. that kind of stuff there. And it's like, want to be humbled. There mm-hmm. it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So our scripture in this section is James 1:2-3.
Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness.
Oof. Oof. That sounds good when you read it and you're not going through a trial.
Right. That's not your battle cry when you're going through the trial.
No.
That's to be like, oh yeah, I will remember that when I'm going through the trial.
Yes. The word steadfastness, and mine says perseverance, those are not words we gravitate toward during that storm.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to mention our Uncommon membership only because we have a lot of resources in there, and you'll probably see a few things about going through storms, unexpected trials. Of course, this is, you can see now, a lot of this has bubbled up from Katrina in our past. Mm-hmm. That might benefit someone here in the future. There's even a couple of blog articles, one well past 2005, titled Thank God for Katrina.
Mm.
So, all right, let's see. Stay tuned for our sponsors who are coming up. Let's see. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Wilson Technology Group. At Wilson Technology Group, we're not just an IT vendor. We're your trusted business partner delivering exceptional support, innovative solutions, and peace of mind. One call, one team, all your tech issues resolved. All right, welcome back to segment two of our Weathering the Storm of Unexpected Trials. We're talking about unexpected storms right here on the on the foot, on the base of all the damage from Hurricane Helene. And this one here is choosing to respond with faith. So responding in faith to something like this, rather than reacting with emotions, allows us to approach trials in a different way. And the Bible encourages us to trust God's plan, even when we can't see the path ahead, mm-hmm. which is good because all the paths in North Carolina had just been destroyed. There is no paths in certain areas. It is so surreal to see images of places. I mean, you know, obviously born and raised in New Orleans, all that damage. But when we evacuated, we didn't see anything until we were 2 weeks out, kind of thing. Which was horrific. I'm like, goodness, that's where I grew up. Mm-hmm. I rode my bike there near that and all that. We see the same thing mm-hmm. with the damage in North Carolina. In the Western Hills, mountains rather, not hills, but places that you and I have been to several times, Biltmore, Chimney Rock, Blowing Rock, Black Mountain, Asheville, all these places that, you know, these are tourist towns that they won't have, like all those businesses and destinations and stuff. They are in for just a long road of recovery.
Yeah.
So when we took and got blown out of New Orleans, we definitely clung to our faith for sure. When we got to Houston, it was over a weekend, Sunday. We got up, we found a church nearby, and went and worshiped. Mm. And then we got to Arizona, we plugged into a church and a homeschool group and a small group. And that really kind of helped give some semblance of normalcy. Because with those people in the Western North Carolina right now, at some point, some sense of normalcy will help. Like, okay, this is how my life used to be in some fashion. Mm-hmm. Like, they may have to evacuate a little bit to go, like, sleep on a bed, wake up, have breakfast, take a shower, put on new clothes.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty basic, but that's where a lot of these people are right now. That is off the table. Like you and I were talking about, like you said in the first segment, people were just standing in chest-deep water in inside a house.
Yeah.
Like in someone's living room. That's where we're all right now. We're going to be here in this water, chest high, until further notice.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody listening to this podcast or far beyond it is prepared mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically to do that.
Sure. I mean, on a very lesser extent, we had family members who lost power who had to, you know, figure out how they were going to cook meals in that time frame. So they resorted to like cooking out on the grill, and thankfully they had, you know, propane and gas. I had another family member had to go to the urgent care, and because they had no cellular service, I had to figure out where an urgent care was near them that still had power that they could go to get help. And that is on this side of the mountain, so the damage was a lot less severe. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see how this affects people's lives so drastically. But I do think this is a great opportunity for, you know, as a community to come together and help in so many ways. And we've seen that in a lot of videos, people coming together, you know, opening their homes, you know, food banks. I know our Bible study's gone several times to some homes in the mountains that are just like, there are homes that are just just covered in mud inside and out. And, you know, they're spending days, like they're mucking out the crawl spaces and stuff like that. Mm. And so I think that's a huge thing. And when you talk about getting plugged in, is such a huge part of this, of like, if you don't have a support system, this is probably where you're going to feel it the most.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. If you ever thought that you could do life alone, going through something like this will give you the answer that you may have been ignoring for quite a while. You know, we're definitely stronger together in these situations. You know, everybody handles the you know, the emergency situation the same.
Yeah.
Some freak out immediately. Some freak out over time. Mm-hmm. Some handle their responsibility very well. They get real objective. Some are like, you know, a little bit of denial. I mean, it ranges.
Sure.
And that could be all in the same person.
Yeah.
So it's going to be challenging for the recovery of this, no matter what part of that role you play. And we always had focused on, yes, there's going to be that need, that initial wave. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to need help for years to come.
Sure. Because this is your place, areas that have not experienced this level of damage, this kind of damage before.
Sure.
I mean, Louisiana's kind of, hey, we experience hurricanes quite often. We know kind of the practice here. I mean, we saw videos of houses just that were attached to the side of mountains. They're just gone now. Gone. There's no recovering that kind of thing. And so you'll probably feel this from Asheville on out probably for a decade or more.
Yeah, I think Louisiana is 2 feet below sea level. Mm-hmm. The highest point is a man-made hill. It's called Monkey Hill in the Audubon Zoo. And so consequently, they built levees and installed pumps.
Yeah.
You've put that amount of water in another state that is not used to that, moving water. They move water by gravity. Mm-hmm. I don't recall how long the water was in New Orleans. Let's just say 2 to 4 weeks. I don't recall. Put that somewhere else where gravity is having to move that. That could be double that water takes to get out.
Yeah.
And then they had all that mountain runoff too. Mm-hmm. I think I saw the number. It was like 30 trillion gallons of water had been dumped on certain areas of North Carolina.
My brain doesn't even understand that word.
Right. And so, you know, I return to God to provide comfort and strength beyond these understandings.
Yeah.
There was time, you know, that you go through these challenges. It helps redefine the character. You know, it helps connect people more. We grew closer together. We grew stronger in our faith during this time. You can look back into the Bible and see stories of, like Joseph, who faced numerous trials, but remained faithful, you know. Yeah. And his response eventually saved countless lives. Mm-hmm. So you could experience something like this and then just fold and, like, just cave in as a person and, like, I'll never recover from this. I mean, Joseph was sold, right? And then imprisoned, wrongfully accused, imprisoned for years. Not like for the weekend.
Yeah.
Not for a 30-day stint. I'm not quite sure. I mean, hey, TJ, guess what? You're going to jail for, you know, a weekend. I'd be freaking out, right? We don't get that view of these characters, these people in the Bible. And probably good. Because I'd be like, you know, yeah, so he's freaking out too. I'm freaking out, you know. So, you know, as we kind of look at some of the longevity of trials like this, you know, it won't always be a hurricane. Like we said, it might be loss of a job, bad health report, a relationship issue. I know in our next podcast, we'll probably be talking about a topic that sometimes feels just as frustrating as this kind of damage.
Sure.
And so how we can respond to our current trials in a way that reflects our faith and trust in God, I mean, that's the challenge, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that is, we're all going to go through it. Jesus said there's going to be trials and tribulations. Just say, oh, he didn't say, okay, everybody on this side of the room, you're okay. This side of the room, you're going to have some bad days ahead. You know, like, can I get on that side of the room? Mm-hmm. He said, everybody, right? So while we watch this on the news, that could be us.
Yeah.
2 years from now, 2 days from now. Kind of doesn't take a natural disaster to put us through an unexpected trial.
Sure. And I think the big thing to remember during these trials is while so much is unknown, in these situations. You know, at least we know as Christians that the Lord's, you know, mercy and love does not change.
Sure.
Whether we have a house, don't have a house, up to our chest in water or not.
Yes.
I know we held to that very hard after Katrina. So, you know, it's, will it replace the house you lost? No, but at least give you comfort at night.
Sure. But, you know, those situations change your trajectory and lead you to places that you couldn't have got to on your own. So, so our scripture reflection on this segment is Psalm 46:1.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Well, if you visit uncommon.org, you'll probably go to our devotion section, and there's over 80 of them currently, and several of them are going to be around topics that kind of pertain to this. Mm-hmm. I can pull out some information to give you some peace. There's another subject on fear. There is trials. There is storms, that type thing. So be sure to check us out at uncommon.org and see if some of that content can help pull out some wisdom and some encouragement from storms in our lives. Stay tuned for upcoming sponsors. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Studio 490 Digital Marketing. Elevate your business with Studio 490. Our expert team offers tailored web design, SEO, Google Ads, and social media management. Visit studio490.com because your success story starts today. Okay, so this is our final segment to weathering the storm of unexpected trials. I'm looking right at you, hurricane season. It's time to wrap it up. Goodness, we're like, what, 24 hours away from Milton hitting Tampa. And I remember watching an update about Helene, and then the guy's like, well, there's one here that we could be talking about next week. It's got a 40% chance. We're experiencing 100% of that 40% right now.
Right.
And so here it is a week later, and Milton's on the doorstep of Tampa. And so
I know when there was a weather guy, you guys always talked about that if he showed up to the weather station, that's when you knew it was legit.
Nash Roberts.
Yeah. Apparently Florida has their version of that as well. Some guy showed up was like, no.
That's the guy who got kind of emotional?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So Nash Roberts would come out. I was a kid. You know, when you're a kid, everybody's old, right? You know, if you're like 6 years old and a child, you're like, you're old. But he was probably, looked like probably in his 60s when I was like 15. So as I remember him coming out on storms, he would bring out a whiteboard and a marker. And you knew you were in trouble.
Oh, no.
He just short of writing death on the board. I mean, just, yeah, run, whatever. Once they brought out Nash, you knew it was serious. Mm. And so, I mean, in this segment here, we're talking about while we may not like it, and I know I didn't, that 2 years, I would not want to go through it again, but it was the most growth we ever experienced. Let me say that again. I do not want to go through that again. But trials can be a catalyst for growth. When we face them head on with God's guidance, we can emerge stronger and more resilient. And so, I mean, I have stories on top of stories. It'll probably fill up 3 podcasts just with stories around Katrina that came out during that 2-year span. And oddly enough, if you read the article, Thank God for Katrina, Uncommon is kind of here today. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back here, but us involved with Uncommon is directly tied to Katrina because of that. So is our agency. So, I think that anybody who's gone through some type of trial, unexpected trial, can probably pull out little chunks of wisdom, especially from our couch watching that, right? These type of things are so devastating everything you know about life changes. Where you live, how you live, where you work, what you're wearing, how you eat. I mean, it was really just so surreal that, and it just lingered. So we got to Arizona. I mean, it was the height of their housing problem. We got there. We're like, how much is that place? I can't afford the front door of that place. And so we were there for a little bit. We, like, you know, we're praying about it. I came up from work one day. I was doing a Bible study at lunch. Come home. I told Mom, like, I feel like I got the sign to move back towards Southeast. You know, she's like, I did too. Boom. We set wheels in motion. We listed our house back in New Orleans. We had to keep dropping the price. I'm like, okay, we're going to go on a small vacation because we'll probably never be out here again. Mm-hmm. We were in SeaWorld. Got a phone call. The house got an offer. We sold our house in SeaWorld. I'm at one of the, like, ticket counters, like some goofball, trying to tell this lady, I just sold my house because of this reason. And she's like, you want a one-day pass or a two-day pass? I'm like, can I use your fax machine? So we finally got it done. But once we left there, we kind of transitioned. I get homesick for New Orleans weekly. Mm-hmm. I do not want to live there again because of the storm season.
Sure.
Here we are saying that 2 hours east of a devastation that took place recently. So I guess there is no running completely from storms like this, but we moved to Charlotte. It's close enough to get crawfish. Mm. It's close enough to fly home and embrace that kind of thing when it's not hurricane season.
Yeah.
But as we kind of move in toward our landing spot for section three, I think trying to stay connected to these people right now, if you're family and friends, that's important for them because they're like, they probably feel that I am on a desert island someplace.
Yeah, I'm isolated.
Yeah. And so I don't know if everybody has been reached. You know, we keep hearing reports of, like, some sections are only accessible by air. Helicopters.
Yeah.
They make one across, like, 2,000 people holed up in a church someplace. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know exactly if all the water has gone down at this point. It's been 7 days kind of thing. But reaching out, staying in contact with these people, your family, your friends, even associates. One of the first we did was reach out to several of our clients that were in the path of this to check on them to see how they're doing.
Yeah.
And we've had several of our clients reach out to us, not exactly knowing where we were in correlation to the damage.
Yeah.
So I would definitely say, as you move forward, ask yourself, are you trusting God with your trials? And what steps can you take to respond rather than react? Because reacting is, I mean, they're going to get news. They're going to get told things. You didn't have flood insurance. Mm. There's a cap on your insurance. Do you have your policy? Do you have the deed to your house? All these things that we take for granted. What's in that box, I think, in the attic or over here? Gone. Totally gone. All those little logistical things, I mean, that's what they're going to be dealing with for a long time. And so our scripture reflection here is Romans 5:3-4. Not only so, but we also glorify in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. There's that word again. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. So hopefully this has given you just a little bit of a window. Again, I could fill up a couple of podcasts with stories that we really don't want to drudge up those feelings and situations again. But to say that on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being, man, I have an awesome day. You just came back on vacation, or you're going on vacation kind of thing. 10 being, I'm dying today. And no, I'm dying today. These people right here, they're probably about an 8 or a 9. Mm-hmm. It's really, really life-altering and serious for them. So if you get a chance to reach out to someone this week, today, text them, call them if they have service, and be open to maybe taking part in a donation. We've chosen to give towards Samaritan's Purse. Now, you've probably seen, you know, there's organizations that are wanting to help, trying to help, not doing such a great job to help. This is a big thing. This is not like, you need water? Here's water.
Yeah.
It's more than that, and it's ongoing. So we're choosing Samaritan's Purse. We also have supported Mercy Chefs in the past. Mm-hmm. They go to the places like this, and they have a food vehicle, and you know your donations go to all the stuff that you know they cook,
the ingredients,
all the ingredients cooks, and all the food stuff. And so, Mercy Chefs is a great one, and Samaritan's Purse. So, if you're going to take and do something, I would suggest you look into something that you kind of trust. Mm. That's the weird thing we're going to say now.
Yeah.
A trustworthy organization.
Sure.
Something that you might feel that has your same mindset. If you're a believer, Samaritan's Purse is that. Also, Mercy Chefs. Yeah. There's probably a ton of other organizations out there. I know Samaritan's Purse is so large, they probably have the bandwidth,
the manpower yeah.
and the accessibility. Because for a while, they were saying, don't come right now.
Yeah.
We can't. If you come here and get in trouble, we can't help you.
Yeah.
You're all adding to the problem. Wait, we'll let you know when you can come help. And so your churches are probably going to be sending teams after teams.
Definitely.
To go help in this way. So I hope that blesses somebody. So that being said,
if you're going to be something, be uncommon.